Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, iOS 6 is here!
Yes!
Well, not really here, but we happen to be able to show you a little bit of it with this magical iPad that just dropped out of the sky.
What?
Yeah.
Plus, we put Buzz Voice to the test, and will the real Any do please stand up?
All that and be a BJ on iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by GoToMyPC by Citrix. GoToMyPC connects you directly to your Office Mac or PC from any other computer or your iPad or iPhone. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today at GoToMyPC.com and use the promo code iPad. And by Ford, featuring the My Ford Mobile smartphone app for electric vehicles. The My Ford Mobile app makes the electric driving experience fun and efficient. Learn more about Ford electric vehicle technologies at Ford.com/technology. And by Slingbox, which could turn your iPad into a television. With a new iPad app from Slingbox, you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you go. Check it out at Slingbox.com/twit. Look at that. It's flying in. It's flying. I said, where did we get that? It's like magical.
Like a little leaf.
Little leaf flying
Hello.
In.
Hello, strange iPad. Where have you come from?
Welcome to iPad Today. Well, we saw it, the magic from, it's the summer of Tim. Lots of big announcements from the Worldwide Developers Conference, including a brand new iOS.
That's right. iOS 6. We knew it was going to be iOS 6. Actually, I guess they could have called it the new iOS or something silly like that.
Oh, that would have been depressing.
But it was the working title, and indeed, we got all of the details on what is coming out on iOS 6. And they have a lot of improvements, a lot of new features, including, got to show you guys this. This is not my iPad. This is someone generous who works at TWiT's iPad, who has a developer account. This is the city of San Francisco, people.
So this is the new 3D maps.
Yeah. As you can see, it kind of renders in real
Apple
time.
Apple and Google both now have planes that fly over.
The unidentified person just got a text.
Oh, don't show her name or its name because...
I won't.
We don't want to get them in trouble.
Yeah, it might not even be
Hey,
human.
That's City Hall. I didn't recognize
that
anywhere.
So this is City Hall. Now, when you get up really
close...
Wow!
It really feels like you're there.
Is that nuts or what?
Now, do you think this has any functionality? I mean, it's cool, but is there a value to this?
So one of the things that we heard about yesterday in the keynote at WWDC was how interesting Map is going to be, and there was this 3D technology and flyover stuff, and they're going to take down Google. Now, what they don't have is Street View. And,
So we're showing you the developer releases very early. This isn't going to be out probably till September. And so I would expect crashes, and also things will change between now and then.
Correct. And in fact, I went ahead and looked up my own apartment. This is not it, but you can sort of see when you get up really close, it almost has like a melty type of a quality, like the walls are closing in. That's not actually what that building looks like. This is just sort of an interesting rendering thing going on. Now, that's going to bother people if they don't figure that out in time. But for the most part, I feel like... the flyover and the 3D aspect of this, and by the way, I'm looking at satellite view. I could go ahead and look at standard if you just wanted something that's a little bit more map-like.
How does their map... it still has a 3D
mode. Yeah, if you want it to be. See, because I'm in 3D mode, there's a little...
So this looks like the SketchUp 3D that you see on Google Maps, and there's the 2D, I guess.
Yeah, this is a little bit more your standard.
This is Apple's response. They want to get 3D. Google Maps off. In fact, they want to get Google entirely
or
off
you could
iOS.
Do a hybrid, which is a little bit of both. So you get the street names.
Yesterday, we talked to Alex Lindsay, knows a little bit about 3D mapping. And he said, you know, remember that I did that program 123 Catch of You that did your 3D head by taking pictures along?
Yeah, a free app.
He says very similar to that technology. So
really?
What these planes probably do is fly in circles a few times around each, you know, area. And gather a bunch of pictures from a lot of different angles. Isn't that what we did of you?
Yes.
And then the software renders it into a three-dimensional rendering, and that's exactly what this is. So it's very much, in fact, it's basically the same technology as in 123 Catch.
So cool. I mean, it's hard not to play around with this all day long. That's such a weird parking lot. I don't even know where that is. It's like I'm learning stuff about my own city right now. But you can
see
that
there's
the tree
a high cool factor, and it's kind
weird.
Of like Google Earth. But again, does this help you navigate?
I think it's a little bit more, yeah, this is cool.
It's cool factor.
But it is also, I mean, I'm looking, that's where my vet is right now. I know that's South Venice Boulevard. It's like, I mean, this is very accurate. So, yes, there isn't a street view, but at
well,
the same time.
It should be accurate. It's actually a picture.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I think it's a hybrid between satellite imagery and finishing.
I would guess this is actually 3D rendering.
It's all real with the flyover planes.
Yeah, and as soon as you get out of the cities that they've mapped.
It's really cool.
You're not going to get this. So this is only in areas that they've actually flown over.
Exactly.
So go to Nebraska, and you probably won't see anything.
All right, let's do it. Just go to Nebraska.
Of course, Nebraska's full of corn, so pick something. Nebraska State Capitol.
Nebraska City.
All right, there we go.
Why not?
So I'm curious what you're going to get. You'll probably get the blocky, yeah. That's satellite imagery. That's what you're getting there, satellite imagery.
This almost looks virtual to me.
Yeah, it is.
But like
they're doing the best they can from satellite.
They're trying. I'm asking it to do a lot right now. But that's maps. I mean, this is the first time I've looked at this because this isn't my iPad. It's really neat. But yeah, it's like Google Maps is the sort of thing that we've stopped saying, "Oh, that's so cool. Oh, that's so cool," because you just use it when you need it.
Right.
And that's what Apple Maps has to be too.
Exactly.
It has to be a utility that just works without oohing and aahing.
Where they don't equal Google Maps and where it is, I think, a little bit of a loss is Street View.
Right.
So one of the things that Google Maps does on Android is you get turn-by-turn directions. That's something you don't get on iOS. And when you get to where you're going, it will, in Street View, show you a picture of the building. And so you kind of know, oh, yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And or you can walk down a street. And now, admittedly, it's not as cool. It's not 3D. It's just a 2D picture they took as they drive down the street. But Apple is not going to attempt that, and mostly because it would be almost an impossible task to catch up with Google there.
Well,
Google's been doing this for years.
It's not impossible. It's just it's not going to happen tomorrow.
You got to drive cars everywhere?
You actually have to drive the globe.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of
Google's
work.
Google's been doing that for a long time.
Exactly. And, you know, back in the day, people were like, what? Are they crazy over there at Google? And, of course, now it's like, why didn't we listen to them?
It's a big database of useful stuff. Now, Apple is getting some of its data itself. Some it's leasing, for, I understand, from TomTom some data as well. So they're going to use and OpenStreetMaps, some of the data from OpenStreetMaps as well for this.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a variety of sources for the data.
And I wonder if
the maps will be just as good.
I wonder if it'll stay constant. It's probably better to have a variety of data from sources.
Well, Google does that too. You'll see Navtech and other sources Google stuff.
Another thing that is coming to the iPad is Siri. That's very, very exciting.
Is Siri on that?
It sure is. And in fact, one of the things we've talked about this on the show before is that Siri can be cool, but doesn't interact with your apps. And that's what I want, at least to be able to launch something when I'm in my car and I can
ask
Siri.
Aren't you in luck?
Well, aren't I in luck indeed? So right before the show, I went ahead and tried this.
So they've
so
added
I know that
a
it
lot
works.
Of features to Siri.
But if I go ahead and hold down, which is what this iPad is.
Siri button.
Is,
now, we should tell you, iOS 6 was only available for the 3GS and later and the iPad 2 and later. But Siri will only be, some of this will only be on the new iPad.
Correct. Yeah, the first-gen iPad people got shut out of iOS 6
entirely.
Completely.
Yeah.
Which, if I was still rocking the first-gen iPad, which is a perfectly great iPad, besides the fact that it doesn't have a camera or video, I would be so mad right now. But we can get to that later. So anyway, I'll just show you Siri launching Yelp. Launch Yelp. Ta-da!
Wow, that was fast.
Wasn't it? Now, see, I had already tried this before the show, so it did. Yelp was already running in the background, basically.
That's one of the reasons it's so fast.
But sure. It was, you know, let's do an app that wasn't.
That is sweet. I am very excited about that. I like Siri a lot.
Launch Facebook. Ta-da! So you can see it takes
That's from scratch.
2 seconds.
Yeah.
2 seconds
not
from scratch.
Bad.
That really, like right there, I'm already thinking, now Siri is not only coming to the iPad, but is actually going to be twice as useful as she's ever been before. There's also
this will not be, again, this is not on iPad 1 or 2. You have to have a third generation iPad for
correct.
This feature, unfortunately.
Correct.
And internet access, because Siri doesn't work on her own.
Another thing, speaking of Facebook, that's new in iOS 6 is, let's say you're on a page in Safari, and you want to, you know, the iOS 5 integrated with Twitter nicely because Apple and Twitter were playing nice with each other, but there was really no mention of Facebook anywhere in iOS 5. Now, let's say I was just going to send this somewhere. Not only do I have Facebook as an option, but it's all nice and graphical.
Look at that.
So I've got Mail, Message, Twitter, Facebook. I can add to the Twit home screen. And you've got some other reading options for.
So this is customizable.
For example,
is this customizable?
Looks like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, add to the Twit home screen was
kind of like the share this
bundled into iOS 6.
Yeah, kind of like the share this button that you see on a lot of websites, except uh-huh. now it's part of the browser.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to go back to real quickly on that Siri thing.
Okay.
Big news for our Canadian viewers: it's now available in English and Canadian French, English and Spanish in America, French in France, Italian, Mandarin and Cantonese, which I think is really interesting.
Big market there.
In Switzerland, Italian, German, and French.
Because those are their languages.
German and Spain, Spanish and Spain. German and Germany. So, Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a huge jump for Siri. And the thing that I thought was really interesting, I think one of the reasons they added, you can tweet from Siri, by the way. You can Facebook from Siri.
Mm-hmm.
You can not only launch applications, but remember, they're also going to do this new eyes-free in cars, and they want to. Many manufacturers have announced a Siri button on the steering wheel, and that's the kind of thing you would do.
Right,
is launch an app. You'd press the button, and say launch Pandora.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's I think going to be very interesting. They made
because
deals
once you
with
have Siri, it's like the car doesn't have to really talk to any of the apps. Mm-hmm. Everything just goes through Siri, and then whatever's on your phone, your iPad, or whatever is automatically part of your dashboard, which is awesome.
There's a phrase among developers, Aaron Hillegass told us about this, called Sherlock.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Sherlock's people, there was a great program called Watson on the Macintosh that we just loved. And Apple came out with a program that the same thing, they called it Sherlock, obviously knowing that they were basically stealing Watson because they named it Sherlock. And so ever since, anytime Apple does something that puts a developer out of business, they call it Sherlocking. This eyes free, Sherlock's Ford Sync, don't you think? This is Ford Sync. And suddenly, and Ford, by the way, is not one of the manufacturers involved with this. Everybody but Ford, including Jaguar, Chrysler, General Motors, Honda, Toyota, they're all saying, yeah, we're going to put Siri buttons on our steering wheel. Now, the nice thing about Ford Sync, you get in the car, you don't have to buy an iPhone. But for everybody who watches this show as an iPad or an iPhone, having a Siri button is going to be a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
And I presume they'll have docks and all of that because...
Yeah, I mean, this is the next generation of Siri actually being useful. It's not that Siri has been worthless, quite the contrary, but it hasn't worked that smoothly and it's always felt very limiting to
me. Can you compose text messages with it as well?
Yes, I could. I could say...
Text me.
Text Leo Laporte. I sure hope this person has you in their...
They may not,
actually. In their contacts list. Oh. Yeah,
see, they
okay.
don't know me.
No.
See, they don't know me.
Siri.
See, they have no idea who I am.
That's not true. Siri actually has, like, four numbers for you.
Damn, it must be somebody I know.
Yeah, those are your numbers, too. So the stork just brought us an iPad, and magically the person knows you. It's such a small world. You know, another thing that's neat about iOS 6 that I think you're going to like...
me.
Whoops.
Strategic error.
Okay, so let's say you're in your camera roll, right? And you want to be able to share some of the photos. You take lots of photos. I want to share like five photos with you, but not all of them.
I wish I could do that.
You can't. So if I go ahead and it's sort of unintuitive, but it's almost as if I'm sending the photos somewhere, right? Then it says select items. So I'll, you know, select.
Okay.
I don't know. These are the five pictures I want to share with you. Now I go ahead and add to a new album. Now I can choose to share that new album with you, but not my whole photo stream. So it's almost a little bit of... I read somewhere online someone saying like, ooh, Instagram should be worried. It's not an Instagram kind of competitor
at all.
At all.
It's very different.
It's a way to share select photos with people that you trust.
Well, what it really, I think, is in a way is a nod to Mobile Me. Remember, Mobile Me goes away at the end of June. You
Correct.
Can't do the galleries anymore.
Yeah, right. But that was something that people did use Mobile Me for.
Absolutely. It's not as functional. I mean, Mobile Me, you could have a public gallery. This isn't public, right? It's just you share it with an individual or... you know, but it's, for, I would bet 90% of how people use mobile me is to share with grandparents, things like that.
Yeah, I think you could make a select gallery public.
Could you make it public?
But again, you most likely don't just want every single picture you take, because this is almost like the first pass before you apply filters
yeah.
or delete the stupid stuff or whatever.
So but I bet you could do it for my photo, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
exactly.
You could then process it
yes.
and share it.
That's absolutely
neat.
Right.
I like that.
Passbook is going to be new in iOS 6.
Oh, I'm very excited about this.
What?
And I see this as just a first step in a much larger global strategy. What is Passbook?
So Passbook is, if you're familiar with Square's card, well, they don't even call it card case anymore, but it's Pay with Square. It looks a lot like that, but where that is a way for you to associate your credit card with a business that is also using Square and will use geofencing to know when you're nearby.
Now, this isn't credit cards, but it is airline tickets.
Yes.
It is movie tickets.
Yeah.
It's loyalty group, you
right.
know, like if you have an Albertsons or a Safeway card.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be cards. You see the Starbucks card in there. It could be, I guess, payment cards. But it's not credit cards yet. But I think that that's the point I was making, is that it will be.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually, I think Apple wants this to be your wallet for everything.
Absolutely. I mean, most of us have our credit card credentials as part of our Apple IDs
right.
anyway, so it's not as if Apple doesn't have that information.
Just add
they
it.
Just have to make it really easy to add that in.
Now, the geofence is interesting. So when you arrive at a movie theater, for instance, mm-hmm. It will pop up your ticket.
Yeah.
Or you arrive at the airport, it'll
right.
pop up your ticket. It'll even tell you if your flight has been delayed or the gate has been changed.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
or
this is so cool.
Because it'll be like, oh, that's weird. Sarah's in Terminal 2. You're not
right.
actually near your gate.
Right.
You gotta move.
That is so helpful. I love that.
And this is some of us have played around a little bit with the barcode type boarding passes. You
right.
pulled up via email, and I've actually had it work fine and then not work depending on what
oh, really?
Airport I'm at.
Oh, that's interesting.
Some airports don't seem like the staff has been trained or something,
right.
or they're not ready for it. Or they'll say, oh, our scanning thing is broken or something. But this just takes another step out of it, because your phone is smart enough to know that that's what you want to do.
Apple's also published public APIs, so if you are an airline or a restaurant or a movie theater and you want to add to Passbook, you can. And I think that's why it's going to grow. And at some point, Apple will, I would imagine, make deals. The reason maybe it hasn't happened yet is it's kind of like making deals with the motion picture industry or the music industry. Visa and MasterCard probably are saying, well, yeah, but we could do this ourselves, and they're going to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet you in the long run, this is great for Apple. Google wants to do this. Google has a wallet.
Google Wallet.
And I think Apple would love to do it. Now, there's some questions. Will Apple use near-field communications? Many Google phones now have this built into the phone where you tap something, a pay pass, and it says, okay, got it, instead of scanning the QR code. Right now, this one uses QR codes.
I don't know that I care really what it evolves
to. As long as
to.
It works.
Yeah, exactly. As long as it's foolproof. I mentioned yesterday as we were watching the keynote. By the way, we're recording this a couple days early, but the show will come out on Thursday. So on Monday's keynote, gosh, Apple should buy Square. Now, I don't necessarily think that's the best thing for Square, but it's like that just makes sense, because then they'd have it all. It obviously is more complicated than that.
Right.
But Apple's got the cash.
Right. Well, Apple should probably just buy Visa. Actually,
and MasterCard.
Go straight to the
American
source.
Express while
I
you're
think
at
Square
it.
Has the same kind of problem. Square sets up merchant accounts for you, but Visa is already doing something Square-like. The other mm-hmm. companies are, you know, and Verifone,
yeah.
which is a big competitor,
sure.
is also. So this is going to be a very competitive space.
It may be
that a company that is not in financial services like Apple has a little bit of a leg up over Square, because Apple has. They're saying, hey, we've got, what did they say, almost 400 million people with iOS devices.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly they can be using this as their wallet. I think that's a compelling argument to companies like Visa.
Google said that about Google Plus, though, didn't they? Look at all these Gmail
yeah.
accounts. Slam dunk.
Yeah. I agree. It's hard. And that's probably
yeah.
why Apple's launching this without a credit card.
Sure.
I love it that they put some of the features that were in Siri when it was a third-party app back in. Things like booking restaurants.
Sure. Yeah, so it's...
this was something Siri used to do.
Yeah, it's before Apple bought Siri. Siri was a standalone app that a lot of people loved. And then Siri went to Apple... went away for a while and then got resurrected with fewer features, which is, you know, goes to show you that Apple was just finessing them.
So you could just press that button, say, make a reservation at Mary's Pizza Shack tonight. Okay. You can tell I'm an upscale guy.
Yeah, so that's the best. They've got great salads. Okay, I'll try that. Make a reservation at Mary's Pizza Shack at 7 p.m. tonight.
Let's see. According to Apple, we'll give you, we'll find restaurants and then give you Yelp ratings, price ranges, and reviews.
I think it's still listening to us.
Oh.
Whoops.
Well, let's see how smart Siri is.
Does Siri know?
Here's a test.
She forgot to say stop.
My apologies. I'm unable to search.
Look at that.
Pizza Shack for restaurants. In fact,
I can't search any landmarks or businesses. What does that mean?
Maybe she thinks a pizza shack is a landmark.
Perhaps.
So.
I'll try again.
This is the problem I have with Siri frequently, by the way.
Make a reservation at Mary's Pizza, 7 p.m. tonight.
Leave out the shack, right?
Checking for restaurants named Mary's. Mary's Pizza Shack doesn't accept online reservations.
But she tried.
So, and that's how Siri used to do it, was via Open Table, and I think they're doing Open Table again.
They have
to be an Open Table.
So this is neat, though. So
that's
Mary's,
great.
Mary's Pizza Shack. Sure enough, for whatever reason, she didn't like me to call it Mary's Pizza Shack, but that's the name of the restaurant. It pulls up the information. 34 reviews, 3 out of 5 stars. That sounds about right for Mary's Pizza. I've got a nice map of where it would be. I can go ahead and click.
By the way,
a larger map.
I chose that one because there are branches all over, but it found the one nearest us.
Nearest us. Siri assumed that that's the one that
right.
I wanted.
Right. Nice job.
Isn't that cool?
I love that.
Love that. I didn't.
Do you
know
use Siri a lot? I find I use it a lot to say things like "remind me to" or "add to my shopping list," things like that.
I feel like I will use Siri 90% of the time to just open up apps because I have so many. Especially because we do iPad Today.
I do the search thing all the time.
I don't know where anything
is.
Right. I have no idea. So I'll just ask Siri, launch it. Then I don't have to swipe and search.
Now, I thought this was really funny. When we were doing the keynote coverage on Monday with Sarah and Tom, they asked on there, how did the Giants do last night?
Right.
And Sarah beat Siri. She said they lost to the Rangers 5-0. And then Siri. So I thought, well, if it's a race, Sarah's going to win in some cases.
You could have asked me. Well, actually, I didn't know the details of the hockey game because it was kind of an important one. But
right.
you could ask me about an obscure game and I
right.
wouldn't know.
Right, you knew that one.
Well, I follow Giants. It was the first time the Rangers have ever won at Pac Bell. It was a sucky
Big
game,
story.
Actually. Yeah.
For some reason, Eric wants you to say, "Find me organic mushrooms."
Yeah,
I don't know why he's looking
that.
For this.
I don't know about that, Eric.
I think the sport.
Going
I think the fact
hole.
that they really pushed the sports shows that must be a very sports scores must be a very big thing.
And you were asking me yesterday, are sports scores that big of a deal
yeah.
to the general public?
Apparently so.
I think you're right. I think there are a lot of people who will say, "I would never use that. I have no desire in that." But it does show off these sorts of immediate answers, which are the sorts of things that obviously Apple knows people are searching for online
right.
constantly.
Right.
So the more
I
of that immediacy
right.
that you have, the more people overall will be impressed.
And there was some smart artificial intelligence. They asked, for instance, I was stunned that Siri could do this. Who's taller, LeBron or Shaq?
It was or Kobe.
Oh, Kobe.
Kobe's taller.
And they didn't say...
Or Shaq is taller than everybody.
Yeah, really. They just said LeBron and Kobe.
Yeah.
And who's taller? And I thought that was a very challenging question, and Siri got it.
Well, she didn't really have details. She said, "I think LeBron is a little bit taller."
That's amazing. You don't think that's amazing? That's a very human response.
I guess you're right.
It's not... LeBron is 1 inch and 3/4 taller. I think LeBron's a little taller.
I would prefer the specific 1 inch and 3/4.
Well, they actually had that. If you do it, they
oh,
showed
I see.
Then the
it
actual
was Siri
heights.
Showing her
but
human
Siri,
side.
Siri actually was giving us a very surprisingly human fuzzy response.
Right.
Which is actually probably what you would have said if I'd asked you. I think LeBron is a little taller.
And probably if you had said how much taller is LeBron James than Kobe Bryant, you would have gotten a specific answer.
Perhaps.
Because you weren't really asking that. You just
Perhaps.
Wanted to know, in general, who's
right.
the taller basketball player.
I think it's possible that that was a pre-programmed demo. But I suspect that this is where they're going with Siri. They want it to be artificial intelligence. They want it to kind of understand natural human speech and respond in a natural way.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they can do that, the more attractive Siri becomes. There's a psychological thing for us. It's much, I think... It could be it's in the creepy zone, too. It could be, no, I'd prefer the computer said, LeBron James is 2 inches taller than Kobe Bryant, instead of, I think he's a little taller. It could be that freaks people out. What are you laughing at? I'm waxing poetic.
Every time you say it, you get a little bit more like, LeBron.
Hey,
I think
LeBron.
I'm serious. Hey,
what are you talking? LeBron, he's taller.
Get out of
now,
here.
That would be good. If you could get out of here. LeBron's taller. Everybody knows that. Now, that would creep me out.
That would be creepy.
Would that be funny?
That would actually be cool. You know, like the Sopranos filter.
The Sopranos filter.
That would be great. That would actually make me really happy. Apple, can you make it so? We know Tim Cook is watching. So.
What are you talking? LeBron, he's taller. Everybody knows that. That'd be great.
Are you busting my chops?
What are you busting my chops here?
Hey, so FaceTime is going to be available over cellular, Wi-Fi.
This was kind of a shocker, too.
So I don't use FaceTime pretty much ever.
I think I don't either, and I think one of the reasons we don't
is because it's Wi-Fi only.
I have to be in Wi-Fi, and not only that, the person I'm calling has to be in Wi-Fi. So
How
often are you calling somebody you know where they are?
And the thing about it is, sure, we have access to Wi-Fi regularly, but usually the whole FaceTime conversation comes up when someone's traveling or you miss somebody and they're not in their regular area. I mean, if I wanted to FaceTime with MG, for example, it's like if he's in a Wi-Fi place, then he's probably working or
use Skype
or something.
The idea of this is that now FaceTime can in effect replace a phone call. Mm-hmm. That and it does pop up when you pop up the contact. You want to call them, text them, message them, or FaceTime them.
Yes.
And I think that having that be you can actually, you know, I could call you on the road with FaceTime. That's intriguing. I think that makes it more attractive.
And do you think AT&T and Verizon are freaking out over this? The fact that we can just bypass phone calls entirely if we feel like it?
That was Marco Arment's one-word Twitter response to this. Is AT&T going, well, I can't say the word.
Holy, you know
wow.
what?
Wow. Yeah. Rats.
It's a four-letter word a lot like rats.
Rats.
Yeah.
Or frack. And here's what I think happened. I think that in all likelihood, when the companies were offering unlimited data, they were, because it does use 3G data or 4G data.
It's as if you're making a phone call.
Yeah. Over 3G.
Right.
And I think when the companies had unlimited data, this was anathema because they don't want to replace their minutes with unlimited data. In other words, they're not making any money off that FaceTime call.
Mm-hmm.
But now that almost all the companies have backed off on unlimited, except with the exception of AT&T, right? I still have unlimited on my iPhone on AT&T.
I have unlimited on my iPad.
Yeah.
But I'm one of very few people.
Yeah, I think that there was a turning point. Perhaps, I think Alex Lindsay suggested this. Apple warned everybody, look, we understand. We don't want to undermine your business.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to do it right away. But we got to tell you, the clock is ticking. In a couple of years, FaceTime will work over 3G. And you better just prepare yourself for that. So this is bad news, I think, for the phone companies. Because if you have unlimited data, you will make a FaceTime call because it won't cost you anything it won't cost you minutes.
Yeah.
But I think this is the way it was going anyway. And if you don't have unlimited data, then I think the company doesn't care. They go, great, use all the data. You know, we're making money on that.
Sure. Well, and they have clogged networks anyway, so I guess it kind of helps with infrastructure.
We should try it.
FaceTime?
Over 3G. I don't know how that works.
Well, I think we both would need to be running iOS 6.
Ah.
So we can't really try it yet because we've just got the Stork brought.
Personally, am not a developer. An iOS developer, and I don't believe you are.
I'm not either. I am not a developer,
In fact, I don't think anybody in this building is an iOS developer. I think this came to us from somebody who is not,
Yes, feathered friend.
Why my phone number's in their list, I don't know.
You know, sometimes birds are resourceful. So these are some of the main functionalities of iOS 6. It's not coming out tomorrow. Obviously, if you're a developer, you may already have your hands on working.
I'm glad you got this because I was really interested to see this.
I thought we were just going to talk about it.
Yeah.
It was nice to be able to show some
Very
stuff
nice.
Off.
Very
and
nice.
It's really nice to see that some of the things that I worried wouldn't work actually did work in our little controlled environment here. So lots of good stuff coming out. They say fall. That means September to me or later.
What it means to me is it's going to come with a new iPhone.
Correct.
And then they'll push out updates for iPads. And again, we should mention, iOS 6 will be available, surprisingly, for the 3GS, the 4, and the 4S, plus any newer iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
An iPad 2 and the new iPad, not iPad 1. And some features of iOS, like Siri, will only be on the new iPad.
Correct.
So
kind of like how Siri is just on the 4S.
Right. And I think that really has to do with speed at this point. For both the iPad 1, for both iOS 6 and Siri, it's just I think you need the horsepower.
You know, one last question before we move on. Somebody had tweeted me this morning and said, in response to the first-gen iPads being shut out of iOS 6, he said, what do you call this fragmentation? I mean, isn't this what fragmentation means? And I thought, you know, it's less about that and more about Apple just screwing over people who bought their first-gen iPad and aren't going to just be buying a new iPad once a year.
It really comes down to whether you believe that it's not on the first-gen iPad because it's technically not going to work, or because Apple says, no, we got to draw the line and we want you to buy a new iPad. I have to say, iOS 5 on the new iPad, or on the oldest iPad, and on the oldest iPhones didn't work very well. And I think it's very possible that, in fact, it's merely just, hey, it's just not going to work well enough, and we don't want you to use it.
Sure. But plus, the lack of a camera does, I know that many apps don't need it, but it does really hinder a lot of the sending stuff to Facebook, and you're taking photos, and you're doing everything on one device.
Is there even a microphone on iPad 1?
Yes.
There is. Okay.
I think there is. There must be.
And there's a lot more RAM, I think, on the newer iPads. So that may merely be they just 256 megs of RAM isn't enough.
I would be disappointed if I had the original iPad and I wasn't planning on upgrading anytime soon. But then again, this is something that iPhone users are used to as well. The 3G. Could you update to iOS 5 on 3G?
You could, but it was a big mistake.
And, yeah, that was
Apple
it was
regretted
it was just,
letting people
it was
do
just
that.
One of those things.
Yeah.
So that's iOS 6. It's awesome. We'll have links on in our show notes to everything that we talked about because Apple's done a pretty good job of describing them in detail on their iOS 6 page at apple.com as well. All of the links we mentioned in the show, by the way, are always alive and well at twit.tv/IPT. If you're ever wondering, what did Leo talk about? What was his app capper? What was that one app that was really neat where Leo took that 3D picture thing?
That was so cool.
People loved that. Yeah, you can go ahead and just visit one of our episodes, or all of them really, at twit.tv/IPT. That's where all of our links are, plus links to subscribe to the show. If you're the sort of person who's been watching over the last couple weeks and is just thoroughly confused as to when we shoot live because we're shooting at really weird times because I'm about to go on vacation, if you subscribe, you don't really have to worry about that. Although we do appreciate everybody who has tuned in to watch us at bizarre times over the last couple weeks to watch us live. Reminder that as of my first week back, iPad Today historically has always shot on Thursdays at 1:30 p.m., 4:30 p.m. Eastern.
Or whenever we get around to it.
Or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And we're going to go ahead and start on the hour because we feel like we can.
It's easier to remember.
Yeah, it's kind of easier to remember. And that way you can tune in at 1. We'll be here. You know, we may be setting up for a couple of minutes, but we're going to go more like 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time. It still will be on Thursdays, but that starts the week of July 9th.
Very cool.
Yes, I agree.
Our show today brought to you by our good friends at Citrix, who make a way for you, I think this is really cool, to access your office computer, Mac or Windows, from your iPad with GoToMyPC. I mean, with your iPhone too, by the way, if you have an iPhone. In fact, a variety of devices, including, of course, laptops. You got to try this. Here's what you do. On your office computer, go to the website, GoToMyPC.com. And click the Try It Free button there. You get 30 days free to try this out, but you have to use the promo code iPad, okay? Then on your iPad, download the free app, or your iPhone, download the free app. And what will happen is you log on. It's so cool. You log on to your office computer from your iPad or your iPhone. You no longer have to bring a big computer with you. If you leave work, you could go home early, and suddenly you can use your computer, you could send and receive email, run any program, run the program just like you're there. You want Microsoft Office on your iPad? That's how you get it. By the way, it's secure too. They're using 128-bit SSL. So even if you're at a completely insecure, kind of skeezy internet cafe in the in the middle of Kathmandu.
Sometimes that happens.
You could actually surf to your office computer and have completely secure surfing. Or whatever you wanted to do.
And it doesn't matter how skeezy the place is.
Doesn't matter. You might have to wash the iPhone afterwards, but your data will be secure. It's very fast. Performance on this is amazing. They've got great 24/7 support, absolutely free. It's just fantastic. You're going to love this. I want you to try it right now. Visit gotomypc.com, click the Try It Free button, use the promo code iPad for 30 days unlimited use. You know, when we first started doing these ads, it was 1 hour a month in a month. And I said, dudes, don't you believe in your product? Let them use it for 100% for a month. Let them use it every day, 24-7 if you want for a month. They said, you're right. Because we know they'll become hooked.
Yeah, that's how you get people to say, this is an indispensable product. You don't always know that after just an hour.
Do you know that you know that I'm from Rhode Island, right?
I do. This is something I do know about you.
R. Siegel. Oh, I know who this is. This is the guy who writes BB Edit from Bare Bones Software, Rich Siegel. He's also from Rhode Island. And we talked a little bit about Rhode Island stuff. And he sent me a Rhode Island care package, and including Kenyon's famous Rhode Island clam cake
mix. What's clam cake mix? Is it like pancake mix, but with clams?
Well, you've had a fritter, right?
Sure.
Corn fritter. Little nuggets of corn embedded in the fritter.
Apple fritter in a donut shop.
Apple fritter, same thing.
Okay.
But imagine that instead of sweet apple or corn.
It's clams.
It's clams.
I don't know how to feel.
You would feel wonderful. And they come in, in paper, greasy paper brown bags, brown paper bags. And they're salted. It's just fantastic.
This is.
Let me tell you,
these,
people who live in Rhode Island are weird. No,
I don't.
It's not even East Coast. It's Rhode Island.
It's Rhode Island.
Because there's another thing that's huge in Rhode Island.
And you're such a small state, you know. So you're just, you like your stuff.
We have to have our own unique.
You got to have your stuff.
Personality. It is the Ocean State.
Okay.
We also like our coffee syrup.
Why are we talking about this?
Because Rich just sent this to me.
All
and
right.
I wanted to thank him.
Hey.
So he sent me. Now there's a debate between Eclipse.
Coffee syrup,
and there are other ones. So, like, people are really devoted to whichever coffee syrup. But he said this is gourmet coffee syrup. Dave's
coffee syrup.
It's cold brewed and craft roasted.
Anyone from Rhode Island watching this and saying that Leo got good stuff?
Look, it says
somebody
it's delicious
out there is from
and
Rhode
wholesome.
Sure of it.
So, wow.
You know, I knew a guy from Rhode Island. He actually worked at Tech TV. You might remember him.
David Prager?
No. He just had a Rhode Island phone number for no good reason.
Right.
But,
he did.
You know, this one guy, he had a really thick accent, you know. And to me, it was like, are you from Boston?
Yeah.
Are you from, I don't know. And he was like, oh, I'm from Providence.
Yeah.
Obviously, listen to me. So, it's just, hey, it's kind of fun out there, right?
I just want to point out that Kevin Smith is doing an Ask Me Anything. On, you know, Kevin Smith,
yes.
The film director.
On Tumblr?
On Reddit, an AMA.
Uh-huh.
And somebody said, have you ever considered creating a Roku channel like famous podcasters like Leo Laporte did with Twit? And Kevin Smith said, I will now. Leo is an OG gangsta podcaster. I like how he rolls.
Nice. Why doesn't Kevin Smith come and talk to us on iPad a day or something?
Kevin, I'm talking at you.
Hey.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
I haven't read this yet. I'm excited. I loved the Molly Ringwald one. Did you read that?
No.
She didn't ask me anything on Reddit. It was awesome.
I love the AMAs. We should do an AMA.
Okay.
I like Reddit.
Why not? Now
that I killed Dig with my idea for Dig 4, I can be a Reddit fan.
You know, I still wear that t-shirt at the gym, and I feel terrible doing it because there are people that used to work at Dig who go to that gym. Leo gave it to me. It's very comfortable.
Somebody made for me because it... Dig 4 was my idea, I confess. Somebody made for me shirts that said Dig 4 was my idea because I told Kevin ages ago what he ought to do, and they did it in Dig 4, and then the company immediately tanked. So if you have a startup and you want my advice, I'll be glad to give it to you.
Well, we know, if you're just like, I'd like an exit, I'm done with the startup world,
yeah,
I'll help you figure out how he can help you with your evolution. Hey, so... We have quite a correction in the show.
Did we screw up?
In the last episode, I screwed up big time. Now, I had
a
request from a viewer to try out an app called AnyDo. The reviewer said, oh, it's really cool for organizing tasks.
But this was not
like
your
that.
Fault.
Well,
because there are multiple AnyDos. That's the problem.
That's true. The deal is that AnyDo, which used to be just an Android app, had come to iOS. And the app itself is AnyDo, like A-N-Y, big D, big O. On Twitter, it's @AnyDo type of a thing. That's the name of the app. So I went ahead and searched for that in the App Store and came up with an app that was an organizational app. And I said, all right, I'll go ahead and download it. Now, you can see, this is what I showed you in the last episode. They have since changed their name
to an
app called
AnyDo. So not only did they steal... how the interface from that other app that I showed you.
Clear.
They had stolen the name.
You can see that they haven't even updated their screenshots
yet. So look at that.
They have simply updated their name, and what that also helped them do is blow out a bunch of terrible reviews, because once people saw this show, they were like, what the heck? This is
total rip-off.
These people are like hijacking the actual app and confusing people, and it wasn't free. It was 99 cents.
They stole the name. They stole the user interface, and then we got them caught. Anyway, that's not the one.
They stole a user interface from an app that you recognize called Clear that TapTapTap had put together, the people who make Camera Plus. So the whole thing was an absolute mess. We got quite a bit of feedback from people on Twitter, from people who emailed us. Some saying, Sarah, how could you? You've ruined the name of this app. And other people saying, I see what happened. You're just confused. This is confusing. Of course, Any.do was the app I was looking for.
Any.do.
But I didn't know that.
So Any.do.
Because to the naked eye,
it looks the same.
It looks pretty much the same. Now, this is actually a really good opportunity to remind everybody that
this
customer reviews really do come in handy.
Yeah.
Because even though most of those really bad one-star reviews didn't happen until after this episode or last episode, there were a couple. And had I paid more attention, I would have said, something's weird about this. Why are people saying that this isn't the right app? There were only a couple of reviews, but they were there. So those are the sorts of things, like if you ever feel like something feels a little wrong, or, hey, I thought that there wasn't a period in between the first and the second half of that app, definitely it's good to really look at the fine print.
I do have to point out that Any.do's interface is very much like Clear's, without the color, but it has
even
pull down to create new tasks.
The real one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
although you do it via speech, which I like.
You can, or you can type.
It does have the swipe to the right to the completes. You know, there are a certain amount of similarities between Any.do and Clear. But you know, a good to-do list is a wonderful thing.
What's kind of neat about this app that I like, and it is an iPhone app, but I have it blown up to 2X.
Very nice.
And when I'm in landscape mode, I can't actually add anything, but I can look at my nice calendar entry. Now, if I know that I have to get dry food from the vet, I can go ahead and add that to,
cool.
The 14th type of a thing. So I have some nice visual options as well
adding
a task. Yeah,
and it's free, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely free, which is, I mean, that should have been another sort of wake-up call. Like, 99-cent app on iOS that's free on Android, that doesn't make any sense.
And people are pointing out that Any.do on Android does predate Clear. So maybe, in fact, cross-pollinization goes the other direction.
Yeah, it's really neat. So this is actually, can I go ahead and bring it back? Yeah. So this is something I was, it'll scroll because it was actually sort of a long note, but tell people what went wrong with Any.do. I've decided at 12 p.m. because I knew that that's Pacific time when we were going to be talking about this app. I can make it priority, which puts it in red, like do not forget to do this. I can add it into a certain folder. I've got personal work, or I could add a new folder. I can add a reminder so it, you know, dings at me at 11:58 or whatever. Yeah. I can add little notes if there's more to it than that. Or I could go ahead and share. I could say, Leo's is somebody who needs to know about this to-do task that I have. So Any.do is actually a really nice app that rivals what I guess the closest rival would be iOS Reminders. Because I use Reminders quite a bit.
There's a lot of to-do lists out
there. There are.
And I've tried almost all of them.
But many of them aren't free.
This is nice. I have to say, I'm really impressed. This looks great.
Yes.
Now, one of the things that's going to change with iOS 6 is that Apple is going to have an interface to iCloud for these applications. That's going to be huge because right now developers who, let's say you're Any.do and you want to synchronize this stuff with your Android device or vice versa, you probably are going to use Dropbox because that has an API. That's what everybody's using. Finally, Apple's got parity with Dropbox and iOS 6 and they're going to have an API. And I think what's going to happen is it's going to be much easier to do things like synchronize your to-do list. Hallelujah. Because that's been, I mean, what good is it to make a to-do list on one device and not have it everywhere else?
Yeah, it has to.
It's got
to
be on my phone.
It's got to
be on my pad.
Into your routine. That's how it'll work. You know,
Reminders will sync now too, right? That's going to be big.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, Reminders already does sync.
Does it?
Yeah. Between my iPhone and my iPad and
it's notes that didn't sync before.
iCal, they're all syncing.
Right.
Although it's going to get better in
And notes will sync now. which it didn't.
Yes.
Right.
Correct. Okay. Graham had written us about the AnyDude debacle, and he said, I think it's more of a problem with the App Store than anything else. What happened? Hopefully the App Store is going to be redesigned soon. It kind of looked like there was a new design in the WWDC demos. Perhaps that's something we're seeing on the show. I agree with you, Graham. He also said, I'm sure the people from Chomp will have had an influence by
that's
now.
That's what
of
I was
going
to say.
Apple bought Chomp, yeah. And Chomp is an app discovery app. It's a very good one, too. He said their side store was much better than the official one. The Facebook integration, too, looks like it'll work well for recommendations. So as soon as iOS 6 hits, we'll see an improvement. And what he's referring to is you will be able to say, like on Facebook, an app that you've looked up in the App Store or you've downloaded.
A much better recommendation system because Facebook's not anonymous.
Right.
So having it tied to somebody who's real.
Yeah. 30 of your friends have liked this app.
Much better.
Well,
much
that says
better.
A lot more than, you know, a few reviews from people that I don't know and maybe I don't quite understand. So very good points about that. And yes, so sorry to the folks behind AnyDude because they actually tweeted at us and said,
I feel bad.
You talked about the wrong app. And I said, I know. We're going to talk about it in the next show.
And theirs is nice. I'm really impressed. I'm going to try it.
Yeah, it's a really nice app. So Any.do, the fake one has been removed and it's called something else now.
Yeah. Apple needs to really get on that. It's a problem in all markets, but Apple claims to be watching this stuff.
Yeah.
So you want me to take a break?
Yes,
right
I do.
Would you like
well,
me
I don't
to do
want
that?
You to, but I feel that you're getting tired.
Let me just take a swig of Dave's coffee syrup, and I'll be ready.
Okay.
I want to talk actually about
talking about apps and driving.
Yes.
Yeah.
My Ford mobile app. How about this? They have got a great smartphone app now for the electric vehicles. You've heard us talk about the Ford Focus. If you go to Ford.com/technology, you can find out all about the new My Ford mobile app that does things like let you program charging on your electric vehicle. They have something called Value Charging, powered by Microsoft. If your local utility sends the information to the app, most will, Ford customers can then use the app to program charging at off-peak or reduced rates. No setup process. It knows what the hours are automatically. You press a button. Of course, your local utility has to participate, so make sure they do. It uses go times to precondition your vehicle's temperature before your departure to save battery energy. That's really nice. Your car is all warm and ready to go, or all air-conditioned and ready to go before you start. And you're doing that while you're plugged in, so it saves you battery life. It does monitor the charging, so you can have alerts to say, you're all charged, you're ready to go, or half charged. Find charging stations when you're out and about. That's very handy. There'll be more and more of those all the time. Plan your drive, too. And they even have a My Ford mobile website where you can share tips, and they've got a great forum there. They even have gaming features, leaderboards, so you can see who's been the most eco-friendly this week. I love that idea. And unique achievements, social networking available, all available to drivers of Ford electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles. You even can see how much CO2 you've saved by driving your fabulous new 2012 Ford Focus Electric.
I love this. Stat
I
geeks
do too.
Everywhere.
I just think it's so great. And it really is encouraging people to do what is clearly the future, which is drive an electric vehicle. So take a look. The 2012 Ford Focus Electric with My Ford Mobile, available for purchase now. And more electric coming all the time. Find out more at Ford.com/technology. I just think having it in the smartphone is such a good idea. Ford's the leader on this. That's exactly why they're putting Siri in. Every other car manufacturer
like,
is saying,
we got to keep up with Ford.
Quick. Siri, quick. I don't know how long it's going to be before those come out. And Ford is not done by any means. Their smartphone integration is just beginning.
Right.
We thank Ford for their support of iPad today.
We sure do. Hey, so last week we had a fella write us and say, how do I get my reading list read to me when I'm stuck in my car or something and I can't actually read it because I'm getting behind? So we asked a bunch of you, are there apps out there that we don't know about? Before the show ended, somebody had suggested BuzzVoice.
Right.
And we said, we'll try it out.
We showed that.
And we'll let you know because it kind of had some iffy reviews in the App Store as well. I did download it and I tried it out. And I know why some of you were upset about it, because it actually works pretty well. I'm clearly using the free version, so it is ad supported. But then again, you're mostly listening to a voice reading stories to you.
And it doesn't put an ad in the reading.
No. Oh, well, what? It may between articles, okay. Kind of the way that Pandora does.
Right.
I have not experienced that all yet. Right.
So here's an ad. I mean, an article.
This is an article for Business Insider.
And it automatically
from 8 minutes
just
ago.
Reads it.
Now, before you're like, how did it know that you wanted to hear a story about Dell? I have told BuzzVoice that I like tech-related stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So now let's hear it.
Dell shares rally after company announces dividend. From Business Insider, more to come. Click here for updates. Please follow Money Game on Twitter and Facebook.
Well, it's a short article.
Well,
you know what?
Story.
That's pretty nice.
So that is actually not a good example.
Let's pick
a huge comeback. Here's what you need to know. From Business Insider, this morning was turning into a disaster. But then sentiment quickly turned. First, the scoreboard, Dow, 12,573. Plus 162.
This is pretty good.
So anyway, you get you
this
guys.
Is excellent.
The woman is simply reading exactly what you would read.
Well, it's a synthesized voice, but it's very good. I mean, that's totally usable.
Yeah. So this is Buzz Voice. Now, what's cool? I'll go ahead and.
Boy, I can't believe how good computer speech synthesis has gotten.
It's pretty neat. What's cool is that you can load up some stuff. And say, I mean, if you're going to be on the road for an hour, you're not going to be able to be like, okay,
next story.
But you can say, I know that I'm going to want to read these 10 stories. I actually got an email from the CEO of BuzzVoice, John Atkinson.
Ah.
And he said, hey, listen, let me know if you have any questions, because he knew that we were talking about last week and that I was going to be playing around with it. And I said, here's my issue. And here's the issue that some other people had mentioned to me when they knew that we were going to be talking about it, is that unless you're paying a monthly subscription, you get... you can only put, you know, 5 articles into your queue. Well, you're going to run out if you're in the car or wherever you are where you're listening.
Well, they could be pretty long articles. What if you had New Yorker articles in there?
Well, but what if you didn't? I mean, what if you wanted to get through 20 stories?
Well, just plan it so you have a lot of long articles.
Yeah, the thing is that BuzzVoice on its own is $3.99.
Right.
And that's ad-supported. So you think, like, well, I don't really know if I want limitations. And I mentioned this to John, and John said, he wrote back and said, thanks for the response. Actually, there's no longer any limit to the number of stories that you can stream.
Good.
Or scream. We listened to customer feedback and made it continuous streaming. There's no need to sign up for a monthly subscription for that. So that's good.
That's great.
That is good. So it's always nice to know when an app developer says, you know what, this isn't working, and we're going to go ahead and make it more convenient for our customers. But we also got another couple of examples of apps that work like this, which at least are worth mentioning. The first one is Lizgo Blog Speaker. What's neat about this is that it works with your Pocket account, which is formerly Read It Later.
Oh.
Now, it only works with that service.
But that's okay.
Now, Pocket is free. So if you already use Pocket on a regular basis, this might be a great app for you. It is also $4, but Pocket is a completely free service. So this is a service that will read your Pocket articles to you. In very much the same way. Now this, we've talked about Pocket in the past, that it's very good for saving things like videos. That's obviously not the sort of thing that you want read to you, because this is weird, like, data from YouTube.
Right.
So this isn't great for everything that you would share in Pocket, and Pocket isn't really about just sharing text anymore. However, for the text articles that they do share, go ahead
Let's
and play.
Operations and machine learning expert John Langford. Microsoft has an extensive research organization that includes 850 PhDs.
Now, in both these cases, is there a way to play the voice a little bit faster? I see a 1X there. I guess I could speed it up.
I could go ahead and say, I don't have time for this.
New York City will be its 13th global office, according to Jennifer Chase, who manages Microsoft Research New England as well as the new New York group.
Much better. I wish I could do that to Sarah and Leo. That's much better.
Yeah. So what's neat about this is that I'm actually looking at this in a how do I do this? Is it this? No, I don't want to archive this.
This is Pocket now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What I can do is I can also jump to...
So Microsoft might seem like a bit of an odd fit for Watt.
If it's a long article...
Can you just jump ahead?
Yeah. Like I just did. I kind of I almost just said, you know, let's put
start
my...
Here.
Let's put my so pointer at...
Wherever you put
how
the
Watt
cursor
research.
Is, it starts.
Yeah.
Ah, that's nice.
So maybe... I mean, that requires a little bit of you being involved, and so right. I'm not sure how helpful that would be if you were on the go.
Right.
But that is kind of neat. The third app, and I swear I won't be talking about this forever,
doesn't have an office is, yet. For now, it's working out.
Is called RSS Talk.
Sales office there. Image courtesy of
she just won't stop, will she?
Be quiet. Be quiet.
Now, this is I speech.
June 12th, 8:22 a.m.
They seem to like female voices. All three of them are female voices.
I think that they've found that they're the most soothing.
Yeah.
I did notice that on Buzz Voice, it goes back and forth between man and woman.
Oh, so you know
at
a new article
not
started.
In the pro edition.
Actually, I like that. I think that's actually a good idea.
It's kind of a good idea.
It's like two different people reading to you.
If you pay for a pro version, you have more of your choice of who's reading to you. Uh-huh. Now, this is RSS Talk, and it's exactly what it is. You can actually say, here's the RSS feed that I want you to pull from, and just read it to me.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so I went ahead and populated the Engadget
so every,
RSS
you're
feed.
You're going to hear every Engadget article, one after the other.
Or, you know, you could put together your own customized feed. Right. So if we want to go to see, if, you know, what's going on with the Galaxy S3, goes ahead and...
June 12th, 7:50 a.m. And then there were six. With U.S. Cellular breaking the barrier of regional carriers getting a flagship device at the same time as its national rival.
I haven't listened to Texas speech in a while. It's gotten really good. I mean, the inflection, the voice, it sounds much more natural.
I actually kind of think RSS Talk sounds the nicest. They're all a little bit different than each other, which is strange. And, you know, you get a little bit of that robotic, like, she read PhDs as PhDs.
Oh.
Which is like, it's not the end of the world, but it's the sort of thing where if you're somewhat distracted, you might be like, wait, what? What was that? I don't understand what she just said. But this is pretty much what we all were looking for, and we have quite a few options. And by the way, we also did, we got into our accessibility options last week, and we were both like, this gets complicated, and then you can't get out, and it's really hard. And a couple of you pointed out, Hunter and Andrew both wrote us and said, no, you guys, it's not as hard as you think it is. If you just go into your settings... And then you go into your accessibility.
Oh,
which is
in here
general.
We go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And then you go ahead and make sure that speak selection is on. Now, it's off by default, but if you turn it on, and you can see there's a little turtle and a little bunny. So you decide, you know, how fast or slow you want things to be read. Okay, so that's all on, all good. And if I go back to, let's open up an article. Here. Can I do this, actually? This kind of actually would be neat if it worked. Yeah.
Select
so I just select some text, right?
Yeah.
And I say, speak.
Wow.
LTE smartphone design and premium content sharing experience will be combined with C-Spire Wireless
voice,
exclusive suite of personalized services.
Now, it's going really fast.
Miss, because June 12th, 2012.
Because I was playing with the slider.
So you can change the speed on that as well.
Yeah. Now, the only thing about this is that even though that's like, oh, cool, it's just built into the iOS, that seems like the simplest one of all. It is like a copy and paste, a block of text, and then read it to me.
Yeah.
And what if an article is like, there's four pages of it or something?
I guess if you had Instapaper or Read It Later, I'm sorry, Pocket, you could. Can you just queue those up and have it read them all? No, it has to be in Safari. It has to
it
be an
have
Apple
to be in,
app.
It doesn't... It's any app that
it's gotta be
will allow you
paste.
To copy and paste.
Yeah, see, that's not quite
text.
As good. Yeah, that's not quite as good.
But it is a little bit of there's a little bit of a clunky. Make sure you copy all the text
you
that you
see.
Want it to read. But that is totally helpful
for doing it for free once in a while. That's great.
Absolutely. So those are a bunch of options. We also got a voicemail from a small business owner who has a little bit of point of view about Yelp reviews.
Hello, Leo and Sarah. I was just calling because on episode 101 of iPad Today, Leo and you guys were talking about Yelp, and Leo was recommending that businesses and people ask for reviews on Yelp if they're happy with their services and stuff like that. And I just wanted to call with another perspective. I actually manage a small tasting room in a winery, and our tasting room's only been open for about 1 year, and we have come up to about six reviews. They've all ended up in their filter at Yelp. And the reason that Yelp gave me was because they were obviously solicited.
Oh.
And Yelp suggests not asking for reviews at all, because they say that even though we mean well, that it generally ends up with more positive reviews than what you would normally get. So they didn't like that very much, even though we weren't offering any incentives. We were just kindly inviting people to review us, and apparently that was not okay by their guidelines.
Wow,
so I just thought I'd let you guys know.
Thank
and
you.
Also mention that I really love the show. I've watched Twit from the very beginning, but iPad Today is definitely my favorite.
Aww.
You guys are awesome, and I really appreciate the show. Thanks. Bye.
You can't understand Yelp's point of view.
Yeah, sure. Because they want their reviews to be organic.
And to be honest, that's the first time I've ever heard it. I don't know how clear it is that you're not supposed to do that. Because, you know, every time I go to the hairdresser or I use any service, they always say, hey, don't forget. In fact, I've seen signs. Don't forget to, review us on Yelp. I don't think it's widely known.
Yeah.
But I do understand that, and I think they're right. You would tend to get people who are happy with your services.
Right.
But
what's interesting, too, is that Yelp is like, these look like solicited reviews to me.
Yeah.
Or to us. And this guy is saying, well, no, they were legitimate.
Right.
I mean, even though we were keeping a conversation going, it wasn't like that, you know, there was some sort of monetary incentive. What's also weird is that you'll see on a lot of business, you know, the front windows, check us out on Yelp, or we're highly rated on Yelp.
And those are official Yelp stickers.
Right. So it's like Yelp still wants you to participate.
It's a little one.
It's tricky, isn't it?
Yelp has to work very hard to make sure that those are objective reviews, that they're not fake reviews,
yes,
either from the business itself or from the business's competitors. And I think that that's a big issue with Yelp. And that's one of the reasons when you say that the Facebook's like buttons are going to start being used on apps. I like that because it at least Facebook tries to attach a person to each account, a real person. And the more you can do that, I think the better the reviews are going
to
be.
A lot of tech blogs have switched over to Facebook comments for their blog
posts. For that same reason.
And, you know, it's the sort of thing where at first people go, you're going to attach Facebook now to your whole ecosystem, your whole blog conversation. But I'll tell you, it cuts down on so much trolly spam because people actually have to be real people on Facebook in order to participate.
Any.do, we should have pointed this out. You have to have a Facebook account to use it because you log in via Facebook.
That's
a nice feature. We're going to see more and more of that on iOS 6 because it's just integrated in, and every app developer is going to use that.
So they're going to learn more and more about us, but they're going to learn more about us.
I mean, the other side is Zagat, which doesn't do reviews. It does surveys and then collates the survey into a review and a score.
Right.
And so they are more probably accurate because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I like you were saying this, I think. You prefer the Yelp reviews to the Zagat reviews because it's individual people talking about stuff. Didn't you say that?
Well, I go to Yelp. Yelp is my go-to. It really is, just because the people who use Yelp, as in general, I am generalizing, are really thorough with their reviews. And sometimes I just read Yelp for fun.
I know what you mean.
We love hearing from you. We try to feature as much of your questions, comments, app ideas, etc. as in every show as possible. You can write us at iPadToday@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 757-504-IPAD.
She is so good.
You can send us a video if you're like, I'm going to dance for 30 seconds and send it to Sarah and Leo. There's nothing I want more than to be featured on the show. You should send us that dance video.
Oh, I love it when he does that.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was watching TV.
Excuse me.
I'm so sorry.
I bet you couldn't even tell me what our Google Voice number is.
I have no idea.
Recite it back to me right now.
757-504 iPad, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you were listening.
No, I remember.
It's only because we've done 102 episodes. Yeah.
No, I was watching the Big League concert. This was a lot of fun. Fortunately, I DVR'd it because I missed it when it was on. But you know, I've got it on my DVR, so that's great. Now I can watch it anytime on my iPad. I really like that. It's just so much fun to watch.
But I don't understand. How did you?
Don't realize that. But
iCloud or
no. This is actually, I'm watching it from my home theater system on my Slingbox. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So I can even, you know, I could change the channel if I wanted to go and have a different channel. And this is my home TV hooked up to my DVR, hooked up to my satellite. I've got HBO. Oh, let's watch Hemingway and Gellhorn.
Oh,
did you see that?
It's so bad.
Yeah,
it's
I decided it's the worst
movie
so
ever.
So change the channel. Let's not watch that.
Let's
okay,
not.
Bad movie. Anyway, look, you like this remote control? It's just like the real thing. Oh, Wall Street. Now, is this the original?
Can you get rid of it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But no. Of course you can get rid of it. No. Of course you can
get rid
of it.
It's like an auto-hiding dock.
Yeah. But,
oh, there
but,
we go.
But,
thank goodness.
But I like it that it's there if I want to do it. And then you have all the controls. This is so cool. So here's what you do. Here, I'll pause this. Isn't that cool? I could pause it!
Wait, but
that's my
how?
Home TV system. So you get your Slingbox. You hook it up to your TV set at home, your DVR, your satellite, your cable box, and then you hook it up to the internet. Now I have password-protected access to my home theater system anywhere I go, so I can watch my home TV. I can watch the big game. So this is the missing link, frankly, to your connecting and watching TV via the internet and your iPad. Slingbox.com. You can go to Amazon. Oh, by the way, any.do does not need a Facebook account. They just that's how it was one way you could sign up, I guess, because it did ask for my Facebook.
Okay. Oh, if you don't want to create an account from scratch.
Amazon, Best Buy, or go to Slingbox.com. I mean, this is so, so cool. Can I go back now to my, because I was really enjoying that Glee concert. I'm just going to change back down to my Glee concert. It was so much fun. I just love those guys. They're so cute.
It's so neat. It's not like your TV is blaring at your house or anything.
No, it doesn't turn the TV on at your house.
It's not like it's
although,
mirroring
if,
or anything.
If there's somebody at home, and this has happened, you've seen this happen, I am taking control of the system. So
right.
I'm changing the channel. So if they're watching, I can, change.
It's a fun trick to play on Aunt Martha when she comes to visit, and you know that she's going to be watching her stories midday.
This happens.
There's a ghost in the machine.
They'll call me and say, I can't figure out how to watch TV. And you go, well, wait a minute. Let me just do this on my iPad.
What do you want to watch?
Exactly. Oh, let me put Mad Men on. I couldn't.
No.
Jennifer the other day, she said, I don't know how to turn on the TV. I said, no, just stay there. And I went,
and
what do you want to watch,
Mad Men?
Yeah, a remote control.
It's great.
Slingbox.com/twit. It's very, very cool. I love the iPad app. But there, you can watch it on your app laptop, and there are lots of other devices. Your iPod Touch with Wi-Fi, your many tablets, many smartphones. Slingbox.com/twit.
So it's time for the App Gap Awards.
Do you have a hat? Would you like a hat?
I forgot.
If you did not bring a hat, one can be provided for you. You take your pick.
What do I want?
I got this. I just want to let you know.
I kind of want my Cairo hat.
I got this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have machines, believe it or not, that make fezes.
What has happened to your tassel?
Well, the tassel's a little.
Your tassel's gotten a little mangled. That's sort of like some little boys.
But isn't that cool? They actually have a machine, a fez-making machine, and you go up to the guy, and he measures your head, and then he cranks the machine. It's hand-cranked, and a fez comes out the other end.
Because it's supposed to be sitting atop your head, because it's a little smaller than your actual noggin.
Well, you know, one of the reasons it's kind of beat up is that then I put it in my luggage.
I see.
It didn't really.
It's a very nice felt fez.
This is a real fez. Well, no, it's straw. This is my summer weight.
Oh, it's just felt on the outside.
Felt on the outside, straw on the inside. It's a summer weight fez.
It's a little worse for wear.
It is a little worse for wear.
You could braid your tassel.
You, on the other hand, look like Smokey the Bear.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Actually, that's an authentic Mountie cap from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
I absolutely love it. In fact, I'm looking for something like this for my vacation because...
You want to borrow that?
Maybe, because I don't want the sun to beat down on my face all day.
Do you want to really walk around like that?
You know, why? Don't I look awesome?
No, you do. Yeah.
It's weird. You asked me as if I might.
No, seriously. Twice. You can borrow that. I would be thrilled. In fact.
Excellent.
Before you leave for. Sarah's leaving for London when? Next week?
Yeah, it's Saturday.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
You're going to be at Le Web. We will rebroadcast your interviews at Le Web. And then she is going to take a little tour of the south of France.
I am. I'm going to be in a car driving through France.
Oh,
like
that's
a
the best
wild
way.
Person.
No, the best way to see France. You go to small town,
yeah.
Eat lunch in every town.
I just want to eat myself to sleep.
Oh, it's the best way to see France.
For lunch and dinner.
Don't, you know, we always go to Paris. We spend a lot of time in Paris.
Paris
love Paris.
Is great. Love Paris.
But the best thing you could do is get a car and drive through the countryside. It's wonderful to the south of France. And please, go to my hat collection. Take any hat you want.
Thank you.
You know, this would be good in Paris. This would go over very well if you wore this in Paris.
I bet. I'll go to the Eiffel Tower and talk to one of those guys holding machine guns.
It's the French subway worker's hat.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Really?
I think I was told that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that's right. Hey, so let's talk about our apps. This app I'm super excited about. And this is one of those apps that come up every once in a while where I initially go, I have to demo this app that I'm going to be really terrible at because I have no musical inclination at all.
Oh, it's a musical app.
But it's actually pretty cool, even for those of us who have no talent whatsoever. It's called VJ. It's from the company Algorithm, which you might recognize as the same company who put together D DJ, D-J-A-Y.
I was going to say, didn't we already do this? But we didn't.
We didn't.
We did DJ.
Which is like a, you know, two turntables
this
and a microphone type of a thing.
Video?
Yeah, it's like a video mashup with music and sound effects and visual effects. And if you're confused,
like
should
it.
Be. No, it's actually pretty easy. What I want to do is I want to load up both of my sides, right? So you kind of think of it as traditional DJ equipment. So if I go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and this parkour video, this is actually stock footage that they give you to start with, but you can pull footage from your videos or your camera roll, et cetera. So this is this kind of like neat ethereal parkour video. But now I need something that goes along with a soundtrack, right? So I can go ahead and pull from my artists. I went ahead and downloaded the I Just Met You, This Is Crazy, horrible song. So why not? Why not? Just do it to ourselves, right? Then over on this side, I'm going to go ahead and add a little tunnel sound effect. I'll go ahead and loop it so it doesn't stop. And then I can go ahead and like... see, so like sound effect not at all available on the left. And then if I go to sound effect on the right, now the music and my parkour video goes away. I'll go ahead and stay in the middle. Now, if I'm really happy with this...
Ooh. Actually, I kind of like this song.
Oh, well, you would. I can go ahead and record it. I start new recording.
You don't like this song?
And so if I'm like doing this in real time, and then I can go ahead and go create it up, cue it out.
So you're mixing these?
Yeah.
But I only hear one.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm mixing the videos.
Oh.
All the video stuff is changing.
You only hear one soundtrack with the... Got it.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I know that was horrible. A lot of you are really upset with me right now for playing that song.
What's wrong with that
song?
It's been
in my head for 40 days and 40 nights.
It's a hit.
I don't know what else
That's
to
a
do,
hit
but
song.
Embrace it. So you could have music music source on the right-hand side, too. So you could kind of go back and forth. And you have a variety of options for this actual wave that's happening right now. I've got Crush. I could go Strobe. I could do, like, a twirl thing. Fisheye. You've got a lot of options. And, I mean, this is something that I loaded up, as you could see, in real time in, like, what, 10 seconds? And just went to town. Now, the video that I just took... Did I stop it? I hadn't stopped it yet. Stop recording. It's really bad. It goes ahead and processes this.
So you record it, and then you could re-upload it.
Yeah.
And so, be banned forever.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I could lose my YouTube account if I really wanted to.
Okay.
But if I was to record, I don't know, Henry Laporte's SoundCloud, you know, one of his dubstep songs, and I had his permission or whatever,
I think
I could put together something really cool. Yeah.
Screw YouTube. Just
it's
upload it.
It's fun for creativity. Now, my recordings, I looked because I did a recording earlier, and then I couldn't find it on my system anywhere, and I thought that's very confusing. They actually do live inside of VJ until you say, no, I'd like to share, and then you can send it out to your camera roll. At that point, you can send it out to the variety of places.
Oh, so as long as you save it to your camera roll,
you
that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, or you could delete it if it was like the worst video ever.
Right.
Love this. It's called VJ. Now, it is $10. It's $9.99 in the App Store.
So
this is a beautiful app. Works really well. For somebody who, again, gets a little bit overwhelmed by these sorts of tools, I found it very intuitive and really fun. But it is $10. So make sure that this is the sort of thing that you're actually going to use
right.
before you download it.
I think it's nice that you show it before, and then people can decide if they like it.
Well, that's the whole
like
point.
Yeah. VJ. You know, it's funny. I was looking at that, too, as my app kept. But I chose something else because I like games. I like puzzle games. Mm-hmm. And this is a neat puzzle game. It's called Ichi. And it's another one of those, I would say, physics puzzle games. But unlike a lot of them, just force quit. Please don't force quit. I want to show everybody the game. This one requires a little bit of good reflexes. So you can stare at the game, but once you start... Oh, it's force quitting on me. Let me turn off my iPad. Usually this fixes it if you have a force quit is where you start the program. Everybody's experienced this from time to time. We just saw it with the Maps program.
Uh-huh.
You start the program, you're using it, and all of a sudden you go back to the home screen. That's because the program itself crashed. It's kind of nice because in the old days of computing, when something like that happened, the whole computer would crash.
Right.
But a modern operating system like the iPad's fine.
It does. It's just one of those things that happens every once in a while. You know, it happens sometimes with websites that I frequent in Safari.
Oh, it'll crash Safari.
I'm pinching and zooming maybe a little too quick, and Safari will crap out. It's happened to me on TechCrunch. I don't know what they've got. It's some sort of the way that they've got the page set up.
So actually, this is an opportunity to do a little, to show you or explain what you could do if that's happening to you. Mm-hmm. First thing to do is what I just did, which is turn the iPad off all the way by pressing and holding the on-off button. It'll say slide to turn off. I did that, waited until it shut down, and now I'm turning it on again. That clears out memory, resets things. Sometimes that will fix it. If it doesn't, then you have two more steps. You could do a full reset. And when you, I don't recommend you do this until you've done the, and let me show you this again. You press and hold, I'm not going to enter the password. You press and hold this until you get the slide to power off, right? Yeah. I won't do it now because I've already done it once. The other thing you could do is do a full reset. Always do that slide to power off first. If that doesn't work, press and hold both buttons, the top on-off switch and the home button
so.
For about 5 seconds. It'll go black.
Yeah.
Now you've done a full reset. Sometimes that's something you have to do. And then finally, and I may have to do this with Ichi, we'll see. I was playing it last night. It was fine. You have to delete the application, clearing out its cache, and then
re-download it. And if you've already bought it, you won't have to pay for it again.
Right. So let's just see what happens
iTunes will remember
here.
That you're okay.
Yeah, it looks like Ichi's fine. Just, so restarting
your
it fixes it.
Your iPad was feeling a little ill.
Now, one thing I want to point out, you can create your own levels in this. It's a crayon-y kind of interface, and you can create your own levels. I always like that. I think that's a lot of fun with these physics games. So I'll just show you a very simple one, one I've already completed. This is right at the beginning when you're first starting. So you see it's crayons. This is an opening. This is the ball. And what we've got to do is get the ball to hit both yellow balls at the same time. So I'm going to tap it. The ball will go into motion. Then I'm going to tap that so it'll bounce there.
Oh, cool.
Tap this again. Oops. And I... Oh, you got to
get it on the angle.
There you go. You already figured this part out, right?
Yeah. Ooh, neat.
So you want to do it the minimum number of taps, obviously. I did
got
seven
it.
Taps. That's only a B. But let's... It gets hard very quickly.
I bet
in fact, I'm going to show you the level that I tapped out at called
Bumpy Ride.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
So the only ones I can change are the red ones.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So I could see it's – now, I could spend as much time as I want looking at this. So this is a good way to learn kind of the basics physics. This would be great for billiards.
It's
billiards. So boom, 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 boom. Oh, so I might want to – See, I want to hit all these balls. I'm thinking, I know what I want to do is I want to switch this one. So let's go here. Oops, I switched it too fast. There we go. There we go.
Smart cookie.
Boom.
You're a smart cookie.
Boom. Boom.
Uh-oh.
Now what do I do?
Well, you're
oh,
you're taking the long
you can
way
see,
home.
You can see why I gave up after this one.
Some people would be really good at this, though. You know?
It's really fun.
That's
it's a
cool.
really, really fun game.
You got to be.
It's called Ichi. So the idea is to do it as few taps as possible. If you like Angry Birds, Cut the Rope, it's that kind of a physics puzzle game with a nice cartoon. You know, this looks like it's hand-drawn. And I really do like the fact that you can design your own levels and all of that. So this is a lot of fun. It's Ichi. It's only 99 cents. It's very affordable.
You know what Ichi means in Japanese?
Number one?
Yeah. I don't know if that's what it means in the app, but that was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah. So
I'm number one.
It's really fun and simple and easy game, but
good
the
fun.
Kind of game where I think kids would enjoy this, and you just kind of it's compelling, and you play at your own speed.
Yeah, Ichi. And if you're an Ichi wizard, you should record yourself playing it and show Leo how many steps he used to make.
Oh, well, you always know when you didn't do well because they give you a grade.
Yeah, there's a B.
Yeah.
Hey, that's better than fail.
Yeah, B
it's
is
better
not
than
good.
A C. It's better than a C.
Oh,
you're good.
Oh, Popeye. Oh.
Well, no, I don't know why you're doing that.
Well,
oh,
I wanted to get that one, but now...
On that note, we've got to leave. That's it for this episode of iPad Today.
Doing.
Whenever we shoot this show
doing,
at weird
doing,
times,
doing,
it's much longer than an
doing.
Hour. We have to try to, you know, hold ourselves to the same standard as we do on Thursdays. You know, tight shirt.
I think you should wear that hat to London in the South
I'm
of
going
France.
To. I don't know why you think that's so funny. I think I look really good.
She's adorable.
Well, you are too. That's it for this episode of iPad Today. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We will be back next week. I say that funny because we're actually going to shoot a show in like 2 hours.
2 hours.
But to you, if you're subscribing and watching us on demand, it will seem like next week.
But she'll be in London
it's
by
seamless,
then.
It's seamless. A seamless experience. But thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time on iPad Today.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.